This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Last week we went through all the reasons that people lose marks, and we talked about one of the best ways of improving your score is to use a mnemonic. This week we're going to be looking at some of the other issues associated with that, such as the styles of wine you're likely to see, implications of no negative marking, and how to game the exam a little bit, getting your sensitivities right, and then also a sort of checklist to make sure you don't make silly mistakes during the exam. But let's get straight into it with the look at styles of wine you're going to see in the tasting exam. WST examination body will tell me I need to provide certain styles of wine. It's a white wine and a red wine, and they're quite specific about what they want the set wine to be. They might say it has to be in high in alcohol or aromatic or whatever. They don't want us using the same wine for each exam, so that the wines are different each time, so they specify the wines to us. The other reason they specify it is because they want to make sure that you taste a range of styles of wines. So they don't want me to use two simple wines or two primary only wines or two very young wines or two very old wines. They want you to see a range of styles. In fact, they want you to see a range of styles, so much so the marking criteria that we have to use to mark people's paper takes into consideration the styles of wine. So if the wine is supposed to be simple, and the examiner thinks the wine is simple, and you use the word simple both on the nose and the mouth, then that's brilliant. But if you don't use the word simple on the nose and the mouth, that is one mark that's reserved for the word simple, and you will then be getting, you'll be marked out of less. So typically on the nose, it's 5 marks for aromas, and on the mouth, it's 3. If you don't have the word simple, and it's a simple wine, on the nose, you're only going to get a maximum of 4 marks. And on the mouth, you're only going to get a maximum of 2 marks. They do want particular things. Generally, they categorize them by flavors. And the main flavor blocks are things like primary flavors, secondary flavors, and tertiary flavors. So they often mix things up and they'll say, look, give us a primary and a secondary and a tertiary, or give us a youthful wine or something like that. And the flavor and aroma marking schedule is based around the style of wine that they want us to supply. Let's just recap what they are, that the main styles of wine are. They're primary flavors, and these are flavors associated with the grape. And also, more importantly, they sort of refer to the ripeness of the grape as well. So in white wines, you think about unripe to ripe, you've got herbaceous, floral, green fruits, citrus fruits, stone fruits, tropical fruits, and finally, cooked fruits. With red wines, it tends to be more like a herbaceous, then red fruits, then black fruits, then cooked fruits, and then dried out fruits. These are clusters. If you look at the aromas that you can use and how they're categorized in the WST systematic approach to tasting, these are like cluster headings. So there's lots of other flavors that you need to actually say. So you actually don't get a mark for saying the wine's floral. You need to say what type of floral it is. Is it rose? Is it blossom? Is it elderflower? Secondary aromas are the flavors that are directly associated with the winemaking process. And they fall into 3 categories. They're things like the yeasty flavors you get in wine, malolactic fermentation, which gives a buttery cheesiness to the wine, and oak, which can give all sorts of flavors like vanilla, toast, smoke, nutmeg, coconut, all sorts of flavors. The final type of flavor is what we call a tertiary flavor. And these are flavors that they develop over time. So sometimes they're flavors that react with oxygen to create sort of quite nutty flavors. You see that in white wines and red wines, some nuttiness associated with oxygen. Oxidation as the wine ages. But for white wines, they can be oxidative, but also as they age, they can become less fresh fruity and more like dried fruits. So dried apricot, dried peach, that sort of thing. And then finally, you can get these really weird bottle-aged characteristics. For example, white wines often take on a honeyed note. Rieslings can take on a petrally oily note. Semillons from Hunter Valley can develop these weird toasty notes that aren't from any sort of oak barrel or anything like that. So you get these bottle-aged flavors as well. Red wines, they develop in a similar way. You can get oxidative aromas, those nutty flavors, you know, nutty coffee, toffee, caramel type stuff. But also, as the wines age, the flavors become less fresh and become more cooked fruits. And finally, for red wines, Like white wines, they can develop these very specific aged characteristics. They're quite often savory, but animally, earthy, forest floor, those sort of flavors. So they're the sort of main things you're going to be looking for in the wine. Primary flavors, secondary flavors, tertiary flavors, and also whether the wine's simple or not. And the examiner could specify some sort of combination of those flavors. And the marking schedule that we use is based on those. So if you're expected to provide a wine that's got some sort of tertiary aroma, one mark on the nose and one mark on the mouth will be reserved for the tertiary aroma. Even if you don't have a tertiary aroma, you cannot get that mark. In fact, tertiary aromas are something you need to be really careful when you're looking at, because they have massive implications for you all throughout the tasting paper. For example, as I said, if the wine's got supposed to have tertiary characteristics, there's a mark on the nose and the mark on the mouth, that's absolutely dedicated to a tertiary aroma. If you don't have it, you don't have the opportunity to get that mark. But if you don't get tertiary aromas, you're also going to get something like the development roll. If you think that the wine's not got any tertiary aromas and that the wine is actually starting to show tertiary aromas, your development is not going to be youthful. It's more likely to be developing or fully developed. If you miss those tertiary aromas, you've got to be super duper careful. And the other thing is, when you're drawing up your conclusions and you're using Blick, balance, length, intensity, and complexity, well, a complex wine is a wine that's got flavors and aromas from multiple clusters. So if you're missing tertiaries, it might be that you're only getting maybe some red fruits and a little bit of oak, and that's two clusters. You don't get the tertiary aromas. You may not call the wine complex. So tertiary is probably one of the wines that has the most influence on your score if you miss it. So you really want to be looking for that. Also, you got to remember, the examiner probably wants to see if you can taste tertiary aromas. So it's very common to expect some sort of secondary aromas and some sort of tertiary aromas in the exam, as well as fruity aromas. So let's have a look at how we can really nail tertiary, because it is quite an important one to get right. And it's one of the four key flavors: primary, secondary, tertiary, and simple. Of those four, I would expect at least three of those in any exam. So always be looking for that. And so tertiary is a very common aroma and has big implications. And probably, it sounds silly, but people talk about tasting with the eyes. Well, I want you to smell with your eyes. One of the biggest helps in identifying whether you think the wine should have tertiaries is to look at the color of the wine, strangely enough. White wines and red wines both get browner as they get older. And as a general rule of thumb, I would not expect tertiary aromas in a young wine. So if the wine is lemon green or lemon, these are typically colors associated with young white wines. If the wine's gold, it might be gold because the wine's a little bit older and therefore have tertiary characteristics. Or it could be because the wine's been aged in some oak barrels. So maybe, sometimes, sometimes not. But certainly by the time you see amber or brown on the rim, then you're definitely expecting tertiary aromas. In fact, in the exam, I'd be looking for tertiary aromas on any wine that you called gold, amber, or brown. I would be thinking, okay, let me really get some tertiary aromas out of this. Similarly, a red wine that's purple on the rim is highly unlikely to have tertiary aromas, because purple is an indication of a young wine. A ruby wine might have some tertiaries, but I would be surprised if a garnet, tawny, or a brown wine didn't have any tertiaries at all. In fact, I'd be horrified if I didn't get any tertiaries on a wine that was garnet, brown, or tawny. It could be that they're not there, but it's more likely you've made a mistake. So if you see a golden white wine or a ruby / garnet red wine, I'd be thinking, is there a tertiary in this wine? Now, if you can't smell any tertiaries, you know, these bottle-aged characters that are really weird, the question is the wine as fresh as it was when it was younger? And the answer probably is it isn't. I would suggest you use the aged or dried for white wines and dried and cooked for red wine. So if you're really struggling with aromas and you can't quite get them, smell anything like bottle-aged characters like oiliness or honey or savory notes, but the wine doesn't smell as fresh as it could be, I would think about the dried flavors for white wines and dried and cooked for reds. So I would look at my primary flavors and I would be going, okay, I've got peach, so I'm going to write down dried peach, my tertiary aromas. And similarly, if I thought the wine was strawberries and raspberries, I might use the term cooked strawberries or cooked raspberries to describe the wine as it gets a little bit older. Now, the next thing is, if you get some tertiary wines, there's a fairly good chance that the wine's got some sort of secondary aroma to it. There are a few wines in the course that you can have primary and tertiary aromas with no secondary at all, but they're actually very few in number. The wines that typically don't have any secondary aromas or winemaker flavors and only primary fruity and tertiary aged character are wines like traditional Barolos. These are aged in very large old vats that don't give up any oak flavor. So these traditional Barolos like that, the modern Barolos tend to have a little bit of newish oak in them sometimes. So maybe, maybe not, but the traditional Barolos definitely can be primary and tertiaries. Rieslings, pretty much all old Rieslings are primary and tertiary. You do not muck around in the winery doing stuff with Rieslings. You just ferment it and let it do its thing. Another one is Hunter Valley Semillon. Hunter Valley Semillon can develop these interesting toasty characters, but they're an aged character, not an oak character as they get older, and they're quite neutral when they're young. And the last wine that quite often doesn't have any secondary influence is Premier Crus and Grand Cru Chablis. These wines will age, and Premier Crus normally don't have any oak influence, and some Grand Crus might use a little bit of old oak, but it's pretty hard to taste any oak influence in the Grand Crus. So Premier Cru Chablis, definitely. Some Grand Crus will have a primary and tertiary aromas, no secondary aromas at all. But pretty much everything else is a primary, secondary, and tertiary. So if you're seeing tertiary aromas in your wine, you need to be thinking that this wine's probably got some secondary aromas there. And oak is a very easy type of secondary aroma for a person trying to find an examination wine to find. So if I'm seeing tertiaries, I'm looking really hard for oak. And I suggest you look really hard for it as well. I mentioned earlier that sometimes the wines are simple wines. These are wines that the flavors only come from one or two clusters, such as, say, floral notes, elderflower or violet, say, and say citrus, you know, lemon flavors. While it's common for these wines to be particularly fruity, you will sometimes see these wines taking on a slightly vanilla-y oak characteristic to them. This is quite often associated with chips or staves. You know, if you're trying to make a nice cheap wine, you put it in a stainless steel tank, do your fermentation, throw in some chips and staves in there, which are a really cheap way of giving that sort of vanilla-y flavor. The wine still is reasonably simple, but it might only have two clusters, oak and, say, red fruit, or oak and, say, dark fruit, in which case the wine's still simple, but it does have primary and secondaries. Not a problem there, not a problem at all. But if you think it's a simple wine, then you must write the word simple on the nose and the mouth. It's really important you do it on the nose and the mouth, because one mark is reserved on the nose for the word simple, one mark is reserved on the mouth for the word simple if the wine is simple. Now, we've talked a wee bit about the different styles of wine, and a lot of the styles are defined by the aromas. But how many aromas should you get down? Well, on the nose, there's five marks for aromas, and on the mouth, there's three. But those five marks, you have to line your five aromas up with me or your examiner, and we have to be in agreement. And we're not always going to be in agreement. You might think it's a lemony note. I might think it's more lime. We agree it's some sort of citrus note there, but we don't agree on exactly what that citrus is. So you would miss out on the marks. Citrus is a cluster heading. You get no marks for cluster headings. Citrus, stone fruit, all that sort of stuff. You need to give specific examples of those aromas. So how many aromas? I would recommend a minimum of seven. And no more than around 20. Seven gives you a pretty good chance that there'll be some overlap. A lot of the times you might get to 10, 12, 15 aromas sometimes. Not a problem at all. Just think of seven as the minimum that you want to achieve. I'll explain why 20 is a good upper limit in a minute. The tasting exam, the WSET Level 3 tasting exam, has no negative marking in it. So if you wrote down that you thought the wine was simple and then you gave it marks for complexity, you're not going to get marked down for saying the wine's simple on one part of the paper and then on another part of the paper it's complex. We'll just give you the mark. If it's simple, you get the mark for simple. If it's complex, you'll get the marks associated with that. But no negative marking means that if you get the flavor wrong, it doesn't matter. So the golden rule when you're writing down flavors in the WSET Level 3 tasting exam is, if in doubt, get it down. All right. So if you're thinking, oh gosh, this has got some sort of citrus, it's sort of vaguely lemon, vaguely grapefruit, vaguely lime, I'm not quite sure which one it is. You can either spend ages thinking about it or you just write down all three. Don't even muck around. You're confident it's citrus, get all three down and it's not a problem. You know, it won't affect things like your complexity because if you know it's got some citrus aroma, that doesn't affect your complexity. It doesn't affect you whether it's simple or complex or any of that sort of stuff. So if in doubt, get it down. However, sometimes you're sitting there scratching your head going, oh gosh, I think I'm getting some tertiary aromas. The wine's got a ruby color, so it might have a little bit of tertiary, maybe not. Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure. The golden rule is, if in doubt, get it down. Now, the problem is, if it may have tertiary or may not, that will influence things like your development and your complexity, and it'll have a flow-on effect to other marks. And if you're not really sure and you get it down because you think it might have it, you want some sort of way to make sure that you don't draw a conclusion from that. And what I get my students to do is, things that they're not reasonably sure about, I get them to put them into brackets. And the idea is that they don't draw conclusions from it. They won't use it for working out the development of the wine. They won't use it when they're looking at complexity of the wine. And it helps them make sure they get everything down so they don't miss marks, but then they can still write a reasonably consistent tasting note. You don't want to be getting wines with 20 different clusters and then saying the wine's simple. You could get a situation where you've got a wine, you definitely know it's got some floral in it. You definitely know it's got some citrus in it. You're not really sure if the wine's simple or not. You know, it's got that lemon, it's got some citrus, it's got some floral flavors that you've identified. Has it got a little bit of stone fruit? Maybe it's got a little bit of oak influence. I'm not really sure. I don't want to put it down if it's not there. I do want it and make them say, well, what you do is you write down your citrus, you write down your floral that you're confident about, and then you put down your stone fruit aromas you think it might have, but you're not really 100% sure on, in brackets. And then you put down your other flavors, maybe your wine oak influence flavors in brackets as well, because you're not sure about it. And maybe you put down a couple of tertiary aromas because you're not really sure, but you put them into brackets because you think, oh, maybe it's got a little bit of honey in there. By having them in brackets, when you go to look at your complexity in the wine, you go, well, I've got lemon and I've got floral. I'm a simple wine. I'm youthful because my tertiary is in brackets. And even though you've written down a tertiary aroma, you're ignoring it. Even though you've written down an oak aroma, you're ignoring it because it's in brackets. And it's a way of making sure you don't draw wrong conclusions. Also, it really helps me when I'm assessing my guys' tasting notes. I have a look at our guys' tasting notes as they go through the course, and I look at it. And sometimes I'm looking to understand their thinking. And without having some sort of idea of the confidence level they have on something, it can look like they're writing an inconsistent tasting note, you know, a youthful wine showing lots of tertiary aromas that's simple, but it's also got primary, secondaries, and tertiaries. You know, this is an inconsistent tasting note. But if they're using brackets, I can see their thinking and I understand what's going on. So when I'm assessing my students' tasting notes as we go through the course, doing mock exams, etc., I'm giving them feedback based on that. Now, the problem with saying you need to get 7 to 20 aromas is sometimes you'll smell a wine and you're really, really struggling to get aromas. You might get to 3 aromas. It's got some sort of vague blossom smell and maybe a little bit of lemon. And you're sitting there going, gosh, I've got to get 7 other aromas. Well, first of all, if you're struggling to get aromas, don't be afraid to use the word simple. If you think that the wine's got more complexity, you know, it's definitely got 3 clusters, but you're really struggling, I might use the word simple and put it in brackets. It doesn't matter. You're not confident it's simple. You might give the wine some complexity in the conclusion, but you don't want to miss out on the opportunity that if you've misread something, that you miss out on those marks for being simple. But if you're still struggling, you're struggling, 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 what I want you to think about is what I call expanding the cluster. For example, quite often a lot of wines will have some sort of generic red fruit, and you're really struggling to pinpoint exactly what it is. It might be a little bit strawberry, but gosh, it's just got some sort of red fruit ripeness level. Well, you could just write down strawberry and then pull your hair out and go, oh, I can't smell anything else. What I suggest you do is, if you're really struggling with aromas, you think it's red fruits, probably strawberries, but you're not really sure about anything, don't be afraid to expand the cluster. You know, strawberry is a little bit like raspberry, which is a little bit like red cherry, which is a little bit like red plum. So just write down strawberry, raspberry, red cherry, red plum. Bang, done. There's four aromas. This is really useful when there's quite generic aromas, because those generic aromas are an absolute nightmare to try and pick. By expanding the cluster, you're not adding complexity to the wine, because complexity is how many clusters you've got. You're just picking flavors from the same cluster. And that will massively increase your chance of agreeing with your examiner on the particular red fruits that you think it is. I call this expanding the cluster. You can use brackets if you're not totally confident about the aromas. That's not a problem. But focus on making sure that the clusters that you have identified, that you get down as many terms as you can. And when you're not so sure about a particular term, because it's a little bit generic, a little bit wishy-washy, a little bit hard to pick out, just put down as many that you think are as vaguely in that ballpark area, and that will help you massively. The last really important tip is, don't forget to copy your nose to your mouth. I said earlier that quite often about 2% of marks are lost in the exam because of things on the nose that weren't on the mouth, or things on the mouth that weren't on the nose. But what I suggest you do is, you just write down all your aromas for your nose and your mouth in the nose category. After you've finished doing your nose and your mouth and you're doing your conclusions, I would then copy down all the aromas on your nose into the mouth section and make sure they're just identical. Always make sure they're identical. And the reason, as I said earlier, is because if the aroma is correct on the nose, because the examiner is using a single marking sheet for aromas and flavors, then any flavor on the mouth that you write down is automatically going to be correct if it was correct on the nose. The final point I want to make is something that's really come about under the new syllabus, where a lot of APPs now are going from a 5-day course to a 6-day course, where you do the course over 5 days and then you sit the exam on the 6th day. The thing is, normally on the 6th day, you're coming in and you're coming in specifically for the exam. So you come in, you plonk yourself down, and it could be your first wine of the day. And the issue is, the first wine of the day, you are super sensitive. Oh my goodness me, everything's pronounced, everything's high intensity on the nose and the mouth, everything's really, really big. And that's simply because you've not been desensitized to wine yet. So one of the problems, and this is really common if you've just come in for the exam, is your first wine, you put it in your nose, you go, wow, that's pronounced. Next thing. Whereas if you finished tasting the wine and came back to the wine, you might go, actually, it's not as pronounced as I remember it, because you've then smelt the wine quite a bit, you've smelt the other wine quite a bit, and you've come back to it, you've been desensitized, and you're smelling more like a normal person would. You should notice it quite often at the beginning of your tasting days. Quite often, a lot of the wines are much more pronounced than they are later on in the course. What I get my diet guys to do is, the first set of wines of any tasting day, I get them to smell it 2 or 3 times and just don't even think about it. We're just smelling stuff to get our noses a little bit desensitized, so they're not super sensitive and get the wrong levels of intensity. So what I suggest you do is, write your tasting note as you normally would, but when you've finished tasting both wines, go back and redo the intensity on the nose and the mouth. Just double check to make sure that it's what you thought it was. Don't be surprised if it comes down a little bit. It might stay where it is. I'd be really surprised if it went up. And I'd have much more confidence in my later assessment if this is the first wines of the day. Okay. So we've gone through a lot of really, really, really important stuff, but there's some things you just need to check. These are silly mistakes that people make, and everybody makes them, but if you check for them afterwards, then you're less likely to. So after you've written your tasting note, we're going to check for things like using the wrong terminology. This is a really big one. And as I said earlier, you must use the right terminology. High acidity, not lots of acidity. Full body, not high body. there's really specific terminology that WST want you to use. So high body versus full body is a common one. Alcohol can only be low, medium, or high. If you write down medium minus or medium plus for alcohol, no mark. You can't get a mark for those. They're not part of the syllabus. Another common mistake, readiness to drink. Don't forget, you have to write how it's tasting now and how you think it's going to taste in the future. That could be drink now, suitable for further aging. Drink now, not suitable for further aging. Too old, which implies that it's not really good drinking now and it won't age. Too young implies that it's not drinking well now, but it will age and will improve. So all of the terminology that you use about the readiness to drink is about how it's drinking now and what you think will happen as the wine ages. Another really common one is cherry and plum. You get no mark for any reference to cherry or plum unless you've got the word black or red. Red cherry, red plum, black cherry, black plum. Cherry and plum doesn't really tell you what cluster it is. Is it a red fruits or is it black fruits? So red cherry, red plum tells you it's a red fruit cluster. Black cherry, black plum tells you it's a black fruit cluster. You need to know what cluster it's in so you can work out your complexities and things like that. So you've got to specify cherry and plum. And that's a very common mistake for people just to go, oh, it's got a nice cherry flavor to it. No, I need to know what type of cherry it is. There's no negative marking, but you don't really want to go much over 20 typically, mainly because if you go over 20 aromas, and I think you're taking the pee, I have to write to the examination board and they will investigate whether they think you're just writing stuff down, you're hoping for a miracle, or whether you've thought it through and these are realistic aromas. So if you're going to write down everything under the kitchen sink, you probably will get your tasting note failed because they think you're just guessing stuff. And you're taking the pee out of it. So 7 to 20 aromas, 7 to 20 flavors, that's about right. Okay, let's summarize what we've done. We're almost at the end here. Let's summarize what we've got. First of all, the most useful thing is to use a mnemonic with bullet points. Echo, IAD, Satav, FIF off, Blick, that sort of thing. Get it down first. Fill in the actual words. A is for acidity. A is also for alcohol, so make sure you write out the full word. Work through the wine, adding all the aromas and flavors to the nose section. When you've finished writing the tasting note, copy the aromas to the mouth section. Work through the other wine. If it's the first wine of the day, recheck your intensities. Make sure they're right. You've got a lovely tasting note. It's got bullet points. It's easy to see if you've missed anything. Go through, check that everything's been filled in. You've got 7 to 20 aromas, all that sort of stuff. Then go through and check your dumb mistakes. That's the right terminology. Using low, medium, or high for alcohol. Using readiness to drink. Stating the how it's drinking now, how it's drinking in the future. And finally, make sure you've got red cherry or black cherry or red plum or black plum. No cherries and plums. If you do that, you're going to avoid most of the mistakes in the exam and you've got an excellent chance of passing the exam. Even if you do all this, you could still get the calibration wrong. You could think the acidity is high and it's actually medium. There is always going to be mistakes made in the exam. As I said, 28% of all the marks lost in the exam come from silly mistakes.